Good afternoon, everybody. Today I'm announcing a fresh lineup of MPs who are energised and excited about taking the fight to the government and setting out Labor's new direction for New Zealand. My new team includes a mix of fresh talent and experienced hands. My decisions today have been driven by the need for us to be firmly focused on the crucial challenges facing New Zealand. That includes jobs, growing our economy, delivering a world-class education for kids, tackling the housing affordability crisis, protecting the health of our people, and giving all Kiwis the opportunity to get ahead. This government's hands-off approach to these issues has failed. Job losses are mounting, people are leaving this country in droves, housing is unaffordable, our education system is in turmoil, and too many children are living in poverty. I have a very different vision for New Zealand. It's about a hands-on government that gets stuck in to help Kiwis realise their dreams. Jobs are at the very heart of Labor's vision. We cannot stand by while more and more New Zealanders lose their jobs or watch while people work harder and harder but not get ahead. That's why I have asked my deputy, Grant Robertson, to take responsibility for jobs and employment. He will lead a team of MPs setting out Labor's job creation plan and how we will back businesses and workers. David Parker continues to head our economic team. He has ably led the debate about the need for transformation of our economy. There is no one else in this Parliament, quite frankly, who has the depth of understanding of the challenges we're facing, and he will make a superb Finance Minister. He will be joined by David Clark, who is a rising star and has the intellectual grunt needed to take on the economic development portfolio. He'll help set out Labor's vision for a clean, green and diversified economy that works for New Zealand and keeps jobs in our country. Annette King has done a great job as housing spokesperson launching our Kiwi Build to build 100,000 new affordable homes. But her skills are now needed in the health portfolio. She's passionate and she is formidable. She'll do a fantastic job standing up for Kiwis' access to quality healthcare. Phil Twyford will take over responsibility for continuing Annette's work in housing. He's one of our top performers and is passionate about taking this crucial issue forward. Jacinda Ardern will continue to lead on children and social development, lifting kids out of poverty and giving all Kiwi kids a fair shot at life is one of our highest priorities. This government's handling of education has been simply disastrous. Chris Hipkins has done an excellent job exposing the botched Christchurch school closures, and he will now take on the full education portfolio. Marion Street will take on environment. Our environment is crucial to our quality of life and to our economy. Marion's superb grasp of policy issues will be a huge asset in dealing with this portfolio, which is central to our country's future. Other newcomers to the top 20 include Andrew Little and Megan Woods. Both are proven performers and ready for more responsibility. Andrew takes on justice and will tackle John Key on tourism. Megan picks up tertiary education and continues to support me in the science and innovation field. Sue Moroney also makes a deserved return to the rankings. She's done a great job promoting paid parental leave and early childhood education. She also will take on ACC. Unfortunately, refreshing the lineup means making some tough decisions. Trevor Mallard and Leanne Dalzell have made big contributions both as ministers and in opposition, but I've decided to move them out of the top 20. They will continue to hold important roles and I know they both understand the importance of renewal for political parties. My lineup today blends together new thinking and faces with experience and depth of knowledge. Other MPs taking on extra duties include Ian Lees-Galloway in Transport and Chris Farfoy with Corrections. Both are keen, active and extraordinarily capable. I am holding a front bench position and the portfolios of Regional Development, Forestry and Associate Finance for Shane Jones. His return is contingent on the final report by the Auditor General, as I have always indicated. David Cunliffe has been allocated Revenue and Fisheries, along with Associate Finance. He is a talented MP, and this gives him the opportunity to play a constructive role in the Labor team. I'm pleased with all of my team's work in the past year, but we must redouble our efforts. There is much more to be done. This government is out of touch with the concerns of New Zealanders and is mired in scandal, cronyism, and frankly, mismanagement. It's time for a change. We will hold National to account, but you will hear more from us this year on what we will do in government. We will be hands-on, we will be innovative and positive. And that sums up my new team. We can pitch that questions now, and then perhaps afterwards, if you want to take some questions from each of the MPs when the press conference is finished.
So Trevor Mallard would not be in a cabinet if you took the reins of power?
Well, at the moment, he's stepping down from the top 20, and a cabinet would be maximum top, would be maximum 20.
He'd be out of there.
Well, he wouldn't be in cabinet as it stands at the moment.
Well, I keep Marion Street at 9, which is clearly failed to lay a blow in the portfolio.
Marion can make a really good contribution in the environment field. This is an area that I think is particularly important, both obviously for New Zealand, its economy, but also in terms of our way forward and the way that we project ourselves as a party.
You don't think she would have been part of that renewal and refreshing of the lineup and would have looked to push back?
Oh, Marion's got huge talents, and in the environment portfolio you'll see those come to the fore.
And that you've obviously certainly got attention here to stay on past the next election.
I'm at the loop point in my career, so.
I also want to point out that Annette was actually voted third most sexiest politician. I could not leave her out on that basis.
Don't these changes really reflect, though, that Labor has failed to file on the likes of education and health, two big portfolios that have had changes?
Look, it's about putting the right fit to the right portfolio, and the adjustments that we're making is essentially to do that, so that we can become more formidable in those particular areas.
But it does reflect that the changes needed for improvement.
Well, obviously you make reshuffles to improve your performance in the House, and some MPs are better served in some places rather than others, and I think that this has made this adjustment will be making a big difference in terms of our firepower, both inside the House and outside.
What
in terms of
reallocating his portfolios? He said that
you
don't want him to play a constructive role. What signal are you giving to him?
Well, the signal I've always given to him, that we obviously we want him to play a constructive role. He's hugely talented. He's going to be part of the finance team, and there's a very big contribution he can make in those portfolios.
Does this signal, though, an eventual return to his former position?
Oliver, I hope that David will be able to take on a really full role in the Labor caucus, and I've always said that.
Why do you have to arts, culture and heritage spokespeople in the top four?
There were two things. First of all, one of them's the spokesperson, and the other associates. And it's simply because it is a portfolio that spans an extraordinary brief and is very time consuming in terms of events and things that people are going to.
Is that really important to you, is it?
Well, it was certainly important to New Zealand. It was also something that Helen Clark, when she was in office, placed some importance on, and we want to make sure that we retain it.
You're now onto your fourth health spokesperson in 4 years. So is this an admission of failure or great praise for Mr. Ryle's performance?
Well, I think what we'll see with Annette coming on board is some real firepower in the health area. Annette comes in with not only the enthusiasm and the experience, but also a real taste for new ideas. And she's had new ideas in housing, and she's got lots of new ideas for the health portfolio as well. Well, she will certainly hold Mr. Ryle to account, that's for sure.
In regards to Shane Jones, is this a sign that you think will be cleared by the audit tribunal?
It's simply the status quo. I've always said from the beginning that once the Auditor General's final report comes out, we'll make a decision then. So, and I've always said that his place would be open to him once that report comes out, should that report clear him.
But isn't the status quo sort of no ranking? Like, why is he being placed back up at number 7?
Well, no, we've always had that and as a placeholder for him should the Auditor General's report come out and clear him.
But did he have these portfolios?
Yes, he had them in the previous.
But has he had those while he's been...
He's been stood down from those, and those other people have taken on those responsibilities, as they will continue to do now. But should he be clear, as I've always said, he'll come back and take up those portfolios from this time last year.
Are you quite confident?
Based on your top 20, nobody in Cabinet would hold Marty Pearce or Chisholm's.
That's been the case before. Porokura Horomia has been shown to be able to do that very comfortably and confidently from his position. Secondly, the Nanai Mahuta will take on a lot of the portfolio around lifting Māori up, both economically and socially. So that's given her, those portfolio mix has given her a real combination of opportunities to do that. And obviously, if Shane Jones returns from the Auditor General's report, he'll be on the front bench.
So is this a vote of confidence in Shane Jones?
It's simply the status quo. I mean, I've always said when I stood him down last year and asked the Auditor General to look into the issues, I said that he will return back to his original portfolios if the Auditor General report clears him. So it's simply the status quo.
Are you confident this is enough to signal renewal in terms of bringing new people forward to prevent that new face that you want to have?
Oh, look, I think this is a pretty substantial reshuffle, actually, to be honest. This is about looking at the critical areas that are critical to New Zealand, obviously the economy, but jobs, health, education, children and affordable housing. And we've got our top performers in all of those roles. So I'm very confident that this is a pretty formidable team.
So what have Trevor Mallard and Leanne Dalziel done wrong?
Look, the bottom line is if you bring people up, other people have to go down, and unfortunately one of those things is that renewal is important, and that's what this is signalling.
Nothing more than
that.
I'm
not going to talk about the conversations I had with them, but they did understand, obviously, that renewal is important.
What sort of message does it send to Christchurch by just having Leanne and Ruth down that far?
Well, it's not about that portfolio, because obviously Leanne will continue that portfolio with the same energy and enthusiasm that she's done. We're taking a different approach to Christchurch. I will be down there more often, and we will be using the various portfolios, education, health, finance, etc., which will be down in Christchurch more often. So there's going to be a more of a senior presence in Christchurch than there has been up to now.
You don't think you need her?
No, I'm not saying that she'll continue on the same role, but I do think that what we need to be doing is having not just one person, but a complete front bench down in Christchurch, because the issues are broad and complex.
But I mean, if you've got Canterbury recovery, like, it's not even in your shadow cabinet, like Jerry Brown is number 3 for a national.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is I don't think having just one person there, and particularly the likes of Jerry Brownlee, is enough to tackle the what needs to be done in Christchurch.
Andrew Little appeared to pretty successfully get him to do a Collins scheme with ACC. Why not leave him with that? Obviously, get justice, but
because I believe that that area in justice, particularly with Charles Chevelle leaving, gives him new opportunities. He's a proven performer both inside and outside the house, and I believe he can also take on John Key on the tourism portfolio, which tourism, quite frankly, has been declining in New Zealand. It's one of our most important industries, and it's going downhill. We need to hold the tourism minister, John Key to account.
So as Prime Minister, would you have a cabinet of 20? Would you cap your cabinet at 20?
Well, I mean, normally a cabinet is 20. I mean, I'm just using 20 as a figure for today. And clearly that will have to be, we'll have to look at it again in 2014 when that comes around.
Because you've obviously given that undertaking for a proportional cabinet if you were to go under a governing relationship with the Greens.
Well, yeah, but that obviously depends on what happens in 2014 in terms of what composition the government's going to be made up of, and then obviously in terms of what proportions as well of the vote.
So you've got no fixed view on whether your cabinet would be 20 or 25?
I've used 20 because that's the normal size of a cabinet. And if we were in coalition and there needed to be some changes made, we would have to make the changes.
But you might make it bigger to fit the Greens in.
Look,
would you ask some more guys? It's a serious question. Some of these people miss out if the Greens are in there.
Well, I haven't.
You're going to have a big cabinet.
Yeah, I haven't composed this with any thought of any other party joining my cabinet. All I've done is created the cabinet that I believe would be best suited to New Zealand. I'm not looking at other parties being involved in that.
Do you worry about anyone
in
this?
Do the performance of this new lineup 12 months from now?
I'm not ruling out any further changes, of course. I mean, that's something that we will take a look at. I do think that after looking at the performance across the board over the last year, more than a year, these changes reflect where I believe we need to be placing more emphasis. But come another 6 months or a year or something, we want to make some more changes. I'm not ruling that out.
What will your definition of Shane Jones being cleared? What does quote being cleared mean?
That's really the contingent on the final report of the Auditor General, and we're going to have to take a look at that when it comes out and make a decision at that point.
So it's if he's not accused of any corruption or anything like that, is that clear?
Well, I don't know what it's going to say, so I can't draw a line under any sort of particular point. All I'm saying is that we're going to have to take a look at that report when it comes out. Okay, thank you very much.